I really don't know what to do right now because I feel like we're halfway through the service. And the Lord has been doing something and it's been beautiful. And like the others, this is quite a long one. So I'm going to just try and keep it as brief as I can. I have no idea how I'm going to do it. So I'm going to continue trusting the Lord. All right. So here we go. Just to start off with, some time ago in Mazibuko, I wanted to give a testimony, and it was on finances, which was very, very tough. If you've never done that before, you should try give a testimony or a sermon on finances in front of the church. And so I was terrified. And I was trying to come up with every excuse. Eh? I was like, okay, what we'll do is we'll have a testimony Sunday. That's great. Wonderful. So I said, okay, Lord, I felt it strong that I needed to share, but I was like, Lord, we're going to have a testimony Sunday. And if they come and do testimonies, then I know that I wasn't meant to share this. And so I stood up and I shared. I stood up and I said, right, testimony Sunday, come, guys, please, let's have testimonies. Nothing. I was like, are you guys sure? I'm sure we're supposed to have testimony Sunday today. Please come. Nothing. And the Lord, and I just knew, I said, okay, Lord, all right, you want me to share this. So I shared it. And again, incredible how the Lord just worked in that. It was definitely from the Lord because it really did touch people. And we were just obedient. And now it seems today it was the other way around. Today, this week, Cole said to me, let's have a testimony Sunday. And I said, I've been here before. I think I'm supposed to give the sermon. So I carried on. And look what's happened today. I think we could have probably carried on with testimonies. It's amazing. Right, I'm going to give this a go and I'm just going to keep it short. You must understand that I'm going to say maybe 50% of what I was supposed to say, and maybe another day we can finish it off. But really, we are dealing with the foundations, and it's been incredible for me. I have learned more doing this stuff than maybe all of you, because I've studied so hard for this. I've gone through so much, and it's been such a blessing to me. And I've looked at it now, and I thought, how have I made it this far without knowing these foundations, these elementary teachings? Without the elementary teachings, how are we supposed to move on? So, we're on the third one. You can read them up in Hebrews 6, verse 2. And the third one is the doctrine of baptisms. And the baptisms is a plural word. So it's more than just one baptism, okay? Last time I spoke, we spoke about water baptism, which is being baptized in water and into Jesus Christ. That's what water baptism is. And he said to us, we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So it's an obedience thing. And today we're going to do baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we know, again, I just want to say that baptism in the Greek, there's no question about it that the word is immerse. It's being fully covered. So did you know that it's mentioned in the opening chapters of every single gospel, of all four gospels? I want to read them for you. Matthew 3, verse 11. This is John the Baptist speaking. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's from Matthew. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. This is John the Baptist again. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3, verse 16. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then the last one, John Chapter 1, verse 33. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So, if you were ever in doubt that there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, I hope that that in itself will help you, that you will see that it is undeniable, that there it is. And the important thing is that Jesus is the baptizer in this case. Jesus himself baptizes us with his Holy Spirit. So Jesus says to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, so this is just before he ascended into heaven. He says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift, or wait for the gift my Father promised, which you will hear, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Just get this thing up. Sorry. Okay. So I think I want to just add today that we can go into a lot of detail on this, and I think it is very easy to get lost in the detail. I would like to ask that we keep the main thing the main thing. And I can't go through all the detail today, but there is a lot. And I myself don't know every single detail of this. And I don't think anybody fully understands it either. But what we do have is we have the Word of God. And just like we are to be obedient to Jesus in everything, we must be obedient in this, even though we may not fully understand it. And so that's what I mean by let's just not get lost in the detail, because there is a lot. In Acts chapter 1, these people were all believers already, right? And they had already put their faith in Jesus. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But there was something else that had to happen. There was something else was about to happen, and something else needed to happen. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will, and this is Jesus speaking, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I'll come back to that verse later. But this is what happened. They got baptized. They received the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason why was because they were to be for Jesus his witnesses to the ends of the earth. The disciples, the apostles, they needed it. Jesus needed it. So do we. We need it. A reminder that the Holy Spirit is his mark and his seal and his down payment for us. Okay? It says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21 and 22, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm. Wow. Missed a page. Let me just go back, sorry, to the day of Pentecost when this all started, okay? In Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, let's read that. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So three things happened there. Firstly, it was a baptism. It came from above. There's like two ways to be immersed. One is to be under the water. The other one is to be completely wet. Like if you can imagine standing underneath Vic Falls, you can stand there for half a second and you will be wet in every single crevice. So that is being immersed as well. So it was a baptism. The second thing is that each and every person was individually filled with the Holy Spirit and had a personal experience. And the third thing was that there was an overflow. When something is filled to overflowing, something overflows. And in this instance, it was the gift of tongues. They spoke in different tongues as the Spirit led them. Matthew 12, 34 to 35 says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up on him, and an evil man brings evil things stored up, evil stored up in him." So it's kind of like a universal truth that whatever you're full of will come out. And I would say maybe 99.9% of the time it is through the mouth in some form. So we were talking about the seal and the deposit. That is what the Holy Spirit is to us. In 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, it says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." And in the same way, in Ephesians 1:13-14, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." So when we receive the Holy Spirit, it is God's down payment for us. That means that we already belong to him. And when he comes to collect us, there's a balance to pay, whatever. But the point is that we are marked and we are set aside for him. And the Holy Spirit is that. The other beautiful account of when the Holy Spirit came was in Cornelius' house. This is in Acts 10:43-48. "All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Right, this is Peter now preaching the gospel to Cornelius and his household. Then it says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, the Jews, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles." They came there thinking that there's no ways that this would happen, that the gift of the Holy Spirit would only be for the circumcised, for the Jewish people. And they were amazed that this has happened. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished. The gift was poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So you see, in this, let me finish the thing. So Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of them of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them a few days. So I hope that you will remember the teaching on water baptism last time. Clearly it says here that they were baptized into Jesus. Into Jesus. And just to point out here that in this instance, there was no mighty wind. There was no tongues of fire. How did the apostles know that they had received the Holy Spirit? By the speaking of tongues. They said, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Okay. I also want to just remind you that often we may think to ourselves, no, we need to see the fruit. The fruit takes a long time to come. It doesn't happen in one day. A gift, however, happens immediately. It is an instantaneous transaction. And so we cannot judge fully by the fruit. That happens over time. But we can receive a gift from God because that's just a quick transaction. That is something that happens straight away. So don't confuse fruit with a gift. The fruit will show over time, and the fruit is very important. Make no mistake. Sorry, I'm just going over what I think we can miss. All right, let's go to John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." This is very important because thirsty and drinking comes up in many other verses when it comes to the Holy Spirit. "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So, at that time, Jesus needed to be glorified before the baptism of the Holy Spirit began. So importantly, there were a few signs that people had received when they received the Holy Spirit that you could look at and say, right, they have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. But one important one was, and the reason why I'm laboring this is because I know that people struggle with this. Not everyone, some people. Speaking in tongues. It's foreign to some people. It's uncomfortable for some people. But I want to show you today that it is so biblical. It is right there. And it is a sure way to know that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and that you have received Him in full. It was what happened to the apostles on Pentecost. It is what, when they saw it happen, they were convinced and they didn't need any further proof that the Holy Spirit had come on these people. When they saw that. Okay, so let's look at how the Holy Spirit is administered, how the baptism of the Holy Spirit is administered. There's two ways that I've read in this. One, and you see it on the day of Pentecost, and you see it in Cornelius' house, is that it just comes straight from heaven. Okay. I don't have to read it again. It just came. The second way in how you receive the Holy Spirit is by the laying on of hands. And there's three examples, I think, amongst more, but in Acts, where in Acts 8, 14 and 19, I can quickly read, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. These are all believers. They had already believed in Jesus, but the Holy Spirit still had to come on them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given in the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And we know what happens there. So, it's, you know, for me, you believe, then you ask God for the Holy Spirit, and it either comes on you or someone lays their hands on you and you receive the Holy Spirit. That, for me, when I read that, that is what is plain and simple for me. Acts 9:18. This is when Ananias met Paul, or Saul, as we know, when he was blind. And we can just read from verse 17. When Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Laying on of hands. And last one, Acts 19, verse 6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Again, the overflow, speaking in tongues and prophesying. I want to just go back, because I needed to quite summarize, that. And I didn't quite know how, but I found something which I felt was pretty good. So I want to say it like this. Every recorded occasion in Scripture where people receive the Holy Spirit in a distinct experiential way appears to involve some outward manifestation. And in the majority of the cases, this manifestation involves speech or an overflow from the mouth, tongues, prophecy, praising, blessing, or bold proclamation. It can also be said like this. In the New Testament narrative, receiving or being filled with the Holy Spirit is consistently associated with an observable manifestation, and most often that manifestation is inspired speech, tongues, prophecy, praise, or bold testimony. The Bible presents this as a strong pattern that though not as an explicitly stated universal rule. You can read that all, and not in every case is it recorded that they were speaking in tongues. But we see it often happening, and not only tongues. I'm only referring to tongues because, as I said, I feel that is where the barrier is. Prophesying, I think, is more accepted. But it's there. It's there. We've read it. Okay. And so now I just want to just touch on the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've had a brief look, and I've made it brief, on how. And now we've got to ask why. So the purpose of the baptism of the Holy, the real and primary purpose, is to receive supernatural power from God. Remember, I read Acts 1 verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Okay? You will receive power. Why? "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's why we need God's power, the Holy Spirit's power. It's because in order to do what God has planned for us, the works that He has planned for us, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. Or maybe we can to some extent, but I think we will be operating way under where God wants us to be. Because no one can do it like God can do it. Paul says this in Romans 15, verse 18 and 19. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. You see that? What Paul is saying is that it's not worth me mentioning anything else other than what the Holy Spirit has empowered me to do. That's what Paul says. And in Hebrews 2, verse 3 to 4, it says, How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God has testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So why do we need to proclaim the gospel? Firstly, Jesus proclaimed the gospel. He was the first person to proclaim his gospel. Okay? The second thing is that it was confirmed by personal eyewitnesses of Jesus. Okay? So that gives it such credibility. And the third, the Holy Spirit bears witness to it by signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So even the Holy Spirit testifies to the message of the gospel through these things. And there's one more reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We read that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. So the first reason was to receive power from God in order to do the works that he has planned for us. That's the first reason. The second reason is this. For we were all baptized in one Spirit, so as to form one body. That's the second thing. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Remember I said pay attention to drinking and water as it is a picture of what the Holy Spirit is. And Jesus says, whoever is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Remember we read that. So the second reason is that baptism of the Holy Spirit is designed to produce unity in the body. All right, because it's one Spirit. And it's one Spirit who we are connected to, who empowers us, and who gives us gifts and who brings us together. Right, I'm almost done. I just want to encourage you today. There was a sermon I gave not so long ago about checking your hearts. And I want to ask you to check your hearts when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 5, I will just read verses 1 and 5. Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. He goes on to say, especially prophecy. And then in verse 5, he says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. But he still wants every one of you to speak in tongues. Remember, speaking in tongues is an overflow, and it is how the Holy Spirit leads us. It's nothing to be scared of. And he wants us to eagerly desire all the gifts, all the gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18 says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's Paul. He speaks in tongues more than all of us. And so the three things out of that is that firstly, Paul says that we are to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. The second thing is that he wants every one of us to speak in tongues. And the third thing is that he speaks in tongues more than any one of us. So just take note of that. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, we won't read it, but 7 to 11, he lists the gifts of the Spirit. And in verse 10, the gift of the Spirit, one of them, is speaking in different kinds of tongues. And I just want to say that all of these, we've actually gone through this many times in the past. There are many gifts of the Spirit. All of them are a gift from God. That's what they are. That's not something to be fearful of or scared of. Any one of them. It's a gift from God Almighty. And so how do you view it? Is the question I want to ask. So I'm going to conclude now. And I'm just going to restate what I said earlier. The Holy Spirit comes to fill us up to overflowing with His gifts and His power so that you and I can go out into all the world and do the work that He has prepared for us in advance to do. And again, I'm going to say Jesus needed it. The apostles needed it. All the early church people needed it. We need it too. So I want to just stress that what I'm not trying to do today is I'm not going to pressurize anyone to now speak in tongues, okay? You can relax. Won't do that. What I want to do is to show you in the Word that it is biblical. And it is not something to brush aside. It's not something to be scared of. I'm also not trying to make you feel guilty. Because you may question and say, oh, no, now that I haven't done it, you're saying that I don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that. Only you and God know the answer to that question. But still, we are guided beautifully in the Word of God. It's Jesus Himself who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Remember the opening of the four Gospels. How do you know for sure of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I want to suggest three things. We must test it. The Bible says test the spirits. The first thing you can do is ask, does it contradict the Word in any way? Okay. Because if it contradicts the Word in any way, you can be sure that it is not from God. Because there are many funny things that happen in the world and in churches too, many. And so this is what we do to test. We test it against the Word. Secondly, if you ask God for His Spirit, you can be sure that that is what you will get. Luke 11:13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So do you see? You must ask. And if you ask God for His Holy Spirit, you can be sure that you will get that. So take comfort in that and be confident in that. The third thing is the Spirit always brings glory to Jesus. Always. If that is out of place and glory is being projected elsewhere, it's not from Jesus. The Spirit will always glorify Jesus. And so we must ask, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, this receiving the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit, this is not a question of if, because I think it's clear in the scripture. It's clear. This is more a question now of how and why, which I've only just touched on. I'm sure there are many questions. I myself have a few questions that I'm not totally clear on as well, but I'm learning just like everybody else. The last thing I'll leave you with is a question. Many of you may ask, do I have to experience these things that I've mentioned in order to be a believer? And I will say that you are asking the wrong question. The right question should be, if God has these gifts for me, why would I not want them? Hey? It's so clear that these things are a gift from God. If they are a gift from God Almighty, why would you not want them? Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this incredible day. Father, just during this whole morning, I have just felt you so strongly, Lord, and I've just been filled with emotion. Worship was amazing, Lord. Just feeling your presence and hearing the testimonies and also just watching you lead us, Lord. We want to follow you. We don't want to just follow our own good ideas and ourselves, Lord. We want to follow you. Father, I know that there may be many questions still, and we will never know everything about you, even all the topics that we cover. We only see in part, Lord. We do not see in full. One day we will, but not now. And Lord, I just want to pray for everyone here that even though we don't fully understand, we can read your word, that we can rely on to our dying breath, Lord. We can rely on your word, that it is true, it is good. And Father, actually that we can be like little children and obey. Just believe that you are a good God and you have amazing things for us. Your plans for us are far more greater than we could ever dream or imagine. But Lord, we need your Spirit. We need your Holy Spirit in order to do these things. And so I just pray that we can go take the step of faith. I know Ryan will lead us in this, but just if we feel, Lord, that we haven't fully received or we can't say for sure, Lord, that we could just be bold and just be prayed for and believe, Lord God, that you will give us your Holy Spirit. Lord, for your glory, only for your glory. Thank you for all that you are doing here. And we commit everything to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. That was very different to how I'd...